Good evening.
Good evening.
We'd like to welcome each one and appreciate each one that has come here once again tonight. Appreciate all the support we've had all week.
Amen.
I will have to say that it's really and truly been a blessing to be here this week.
Man.
You know, Dr. Collins really had a burden to have his revival, and he was determined he wasn't going to give up until we had it. And I was concerned about the weather, the time of year, about it getting too cold, if it be too cold on. But I tell you what, the Lord, I feel like kept us pretty comfortable in here at night this week. Yeah. We've been here several times, and I just want to thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for Dr. Collins and the burden that the Lord, the way the Lord uses Dr. Collins. He uses him in a lot of ways. I can say this, I guess. I brag on him a lot. People I work with, different ones I talk to. I say when they made Doc, when the Lord made Doc, they broke the mold. Because he's a servant for the Lord.
Amen.
And he's a servant for the people.
Yeah.
And I think y'all probably heard me say this before. If anybody's ever had a servant's heart, I believe Dr. Collins has got it.
Amen.
And I'm also thinking about this tent. This is the third revival that we've held inside of this tent. We held it up here early this spring, and we've been down there where they're building the pizza place now last year. And I don't know if y'all realize it or remember it. Some of you do, but we inaugurated this tent.
Yeah.
We took this tent out of the box. And I thank the brothers that had a burden that they felt like that they needed to purchase a tent that we might be able to have these revivals that we had. And those brothers were Brother Clayton Sinners, who brought the tent up here to us Saturday. Brother Junior Moore, that we know that had a missions heart and he's gone on to be with the Lord. And Brother Kenny Knight, those three brothers, they just felt strongly with all their hearts to get a tent, purchase a tent, and not just for them, but that anybody wanted to use it. And they've allowed us, every time we've asked for it, they've allowed us to have it.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
And it was brought to our attention last night. I want to mention this. I didn't know if Brother Miller would mention this or not, but after the service last night, we were talking, and it was brought to our attention that right now, Brother Sinners is having a rough time. My understanding, he's been sick, and his wife has been sick, and you know, they don't ask anything from us when we want to use this tent. But we were talking last night, some of us brothers was, that it might be mentioned that we take up a love offering for them. So I want y'all to be thinking about that, what you want to do, you want to help them. And I just want to mention that tonight, and Brother Miller may mention it again tomorrow night and from the pulpit Sunday morning, that some way that we might be a help.
Amen. For
Brother Sinners and his family. Y'all pray for them. And pray for me tonight. You know, I need your help.
Amen.
I do. I need your help tonight.
Yes.
How do I need your help? Because I need you to pray to the Lord for me.
Amen.
That the Lord might help me. So with y'all praying to the Lord and praying for me, I know that I can get help from the Lord. Because he's able to do the things that we ask for, and he's able to do the things that we're in need of.
Yeah.
And I'm in need of them tonight. So y'all do pray to the Lord that I might be able to say the things that he'd have me to say, and say them in a way that all can understand. You that know me know that I'm not a man of fancy speech. I'm pretty simple-minded. But that's the way I am, and sometimes I can't even pronounce the words I want to pronounce, especially some of these words in the Bible. I guess I need to pay attention when I was in school and these teachers were trying to teach me how to read instead of cutting up. That's my fault. But tonight I want to begin with the Book of John, first chapter. It says, in the beginning. Where have we heard that before? Where have we read that before? Now this is the first chapter, John, first verse. But if we go back in the beginning of God's holy word, when Moses had penned down or wrote, of course he didn't write it with a pen, but what was his words that he had recorded? And the first thing that we read in God's word, it says, in the beginning.
Yep.
God created the heavens and the earth. So here John begins, here in his, the gospel. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now John here, he used the Word, and not to take anything from God's Word to add to it, but I want to read it again, and I want to change it just a little bit. It says, in the beginning was the Son of God. And the Son of God was with God. And the Son of God was God.
Yeah.
Now, I worded it different, but I don't believe that I took anything from God's word, because we're still talking about the same individual.
Yes.
We're still talking about the Son of God, which John called him the Word. And over here in the 14th verse, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love that last sentence there.
Amen.
Full of grace. Amazing grace.
Amen.
Full of truth. One that's not a liar. We know the one that who the liar is. We know the one that has his angels that go out and preach and teach false doctrines.
Yeah.
That turn themselves into the apostles of as the apostles of Christ. Not they are the apostles of Christ, but they act like it. Satan has his angels out there working, deceiving people left and right.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, they mimic God's word so close, but yet, in the end, what they say, there's no truth in it.
Amen.
God's word, and Jesus is truth, and that's where the truth comes from.
Yeah.
Now, I want to back up here a little bit. It says the word was made flesh. And it's never really occurred to me, the way I've always read that and thought about it, I've always thought when it says that he was made flesh, that when he was born into the world, when he became that babe that we read about in the beginning of the Gospels, when Matthew and Luke tells us about the birth of Christ and how Mary was, how she conceived with the Holy Ghost and she bore a son and they called him Jesus, Emmanuel. And I was thinking that's when he was made flesh, but then if we're pro-life, we really need to look at it a different way. That it wasn't when he was born into the world, but he became flesh when Mary conceived.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
You know, Mary carried Jesus, I suppose, in her womb for 9 months. That's the normal time that a woman carries a child. But when Mary conceived, he became flesh then. But then when he was born into the world, he became that babe that John was talking about, that we beheld the glory, that he could see that child Jesus. That he could see that Son of God that came in the world, that was prophesied by Isaiah. The one to be called Emmanuel, God with us. To be named Jesus, that's what the angel told her. I was thinking about what Brother Ronnie said the other night about that Jesus wasn't in heaven with God the Father, and he wasn't instructed to be named Jesus until he was born into the world. He was the Son of God. But then when he was born into the world and became flesh as that babe, as we know, they called him Jesus. And the things I want to think about tonight, the point that I want to make, that we think about, it says that he was the Word and then beginning of time, beginning of creation. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about creation. How God created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus was there with them. We just read it that he was. Nothing was created without him.
Amen.
But I went on and got to thinking about all the different things, the records that we have that Jesus done, the miracles that Jesus performed while he walked upon this earth. Now we know and heard about the childbirth, and then we didn't hear much about him again until about the age of 12 when he was in the temple. And then after that, we hear nothing else about him. But Luke comes into the picture and in his gospel, and he records us and tells us how old that Jesus was when he began his ministry. I think Brother Miller mentioned it. One of the preachers did the other night that he was 30 years old. We have record of that. We have record of that because Luke recorded that and let us know that Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry.
Right.
And when he began his ministry, to let people see that he was the Son of God, that he was the Word, he had the ability, because he was God, he had the ability. But when you think about all the creations, the creating the heavens and the earth, the things he did as he walked up on the earth here. And we have record here that's been recorded. There's been about 37 miracles during that time that Jesus walked upon the earth. Now, when we read the Gospels, we can go to some of the different Gospels, and each one of them tells about the same miracle. Some of them all three, some all four Gospels, and some of them tell about different Gospels that's not mentioned in other places. I've got it written down here that Matthew recorded 21 times that he performed a miracle, and what Matthew recorded. Mark recorded 19 miracles. Now some of these, like I said, are the same miracles. Luke recorded 22 different miracles. And John, the writer of the gospel that I'm reading tonight and I'm talking about, he didn't record but 8. But we have a record of the first miracle that we believe it was performed is when he turned the water to the wine. I believe that was the first miracle that he performed. But you know, in every miracle that Jesus performed, there was a purpose in it.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a reason in it why he performed these miracles.
Amen.
And they were for different reasons, but it was all boiled down to show the power that he was, that he was the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That he had that power to heal. And I want to go through some of these. And I'm not going through all the miracles, but I'm going to mention some of them. The healing of a centurion's servant. He came to Jesus and asked him that he'd come to his house. Well, he wanted Jesus to heal him, and Jesus did. He didn't even have to go there. He didn't have to go to the centurion's house to heal him. But he healed him. There's a one that he stilled the storm. Remember the story that we have when the disciples went out on the boat and the winds got boisterous and the sea got boisterous and there was such a storm and the wind was blowing so hard and the waves were so big that they were coming up over the boat and they feared their death. They feared that they were going to drown. They feared like the boat was going to sink because of the sea was so rough. And Jesus was over and napping. See, Jesus was made flesh. He slept just like we sleep today. Even though he was the Son of God, God's Word tells us that he was sleeping.
Yeah.
That goes to tell me that he dealt with things just like we deal with today. That tells me no matter even how far he walked and the things he done, that I believe he got tired.
Yeah.
He had to rest just like we did.
Yeah.
But he didn't quit, did he? He just kept on keeping
Amen.
On. But they feared their death. They feared that the boat was going to sink. And they went to Jesus and woke him up. And he talked to them about what little faith that they had. But what happened? Jesus stopped the wind.
Amen.
Please be still. The sea, the waves that was coming up over the boat, everything got calm. And I'm paraphrasing here. But they said, what manner of man is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That even has the power to calm the storm. What manner of his man is this? I tell you the kind of man he is. He's the kind of man that loves us and has the power to save.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The man that has the power to save. Another one. There was a man that was literally crazy.
Yeah.
A lunatic. You want to call him that? Said he could, that even I'll use handcuffs, but they could even chain him and he could even get out of the chain. They couldn't hold him. He was possessed by devils. And their time that they said their name was Legion, there was many of them. When Jesus cast those devils out of that man, and they run down into a bunch of swine, pigs, hogs, however y'all want to call it, but that's what they were. And then it said they run down the steep hill into the sea, and they drowned it. After he done that, that man that he cast them devils out, he was just like me and you. Well, I don't know, some of y'all think it's crazy. You know? Man. But oh, seriously, the man was changed.
Yeah.
He was changed.
Amen.
He wasn't possessed with those devils anymore. Why was he able to do that? Because he was the Son of God. He had that power. They feared him.
Yeah.
Those devils. They knew who he was. They knew who Jesus was. Even though man didn't know who Jesus was, those that was possessed, that possessed that man, said they were many, that they were called Legion, they knew who Jesus was. They even called him the Son of God. They knew who he was. They know who he is today. Believe me, they know who he is today. And they sure don't want us standing up here preaching him.
Amen.
They don't want us up here preaching today. The devil don't want us preaching Jesus.
That's right.
But we're going to do it.
Amen.
We're going to do it. Let's go a little bit further on some more here. What about the feed the 5,000? The great multitude. There was five loaves of bread? 2 fish, and there was a great multitude, and they were getting hungry. They haven't been fed, and Jesus told them to take the baskets and start passing it around, and it says that he fed 5,000 men. Now, the record has that we have 5,000 men besides the women and children. So I wonder how many he really fed that day.
Yeah.
Fed a bunch of people. For every 5,000 men, there wasn't no doubt a lot of women, a lot of children too. But it don't tell us that, but it talks about him feeding the man. I tell you what, you can put a plate in front of me and most of the time ain't nobody going to get nothing from it because I'm going to eat it all. Eat every bit of it. But you take 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the multitude that was fed. Who in the world could do such a thing? Who has the power to do such a thing?
Yeah.
Amen.
The Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Walking on the sea. A lot of people know about that one. When they was on the boat, they saw something out in the water. When they got to looking, it was Jesus. Walking on the water. Peter wanted to come out there too. Peter came out, he said, come. Peter got out there and started walking on the water. He got a little nervous, got a little scared, took his eyes off the Lord. He started to sink. Asked the Lord to save him. See, who has the power to walk on the water? Who has the power to give somebody the power to walk on the water? Think about it. Who has the power to do such a thing? I told you about them feeding 5,000. We have another record where he fed 4,000. And I think there were 7 loaves and a few fish. And it says that he fed 4,000 men besides the women and children that were there. We can go on a little bit further. I remember when he had some really good friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He had a real close relationship with them. Lazarus got sick. They wanted Jesus to come to them. Would Jesus come? But in their own minds and their own thoughts, he was a little late. Because when he finally got there, Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. He was in the tomb. Done buried him. But Jesus told him to roll the stone away. Martha said, but Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. Or been buried in the tomb for 4 days. He's going to stink. His body's rotting already. If you roll that stone away, it's going to smell bad. He's going to stink it. What did Jesus do? He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come forth. It says Lazarus come out, had his grave clothes on him. His hands was bound, his feet was bound, naked on his face, the way they prepared his body when they buried him. Jesus told him to remove that from him. He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Amen.
A man
Amen.
That was in the tomb for 4 days that his body should have been rotting. But he come out of there just like he'd never been sick. That he'd never died. Who has the power to do such a thing? Another thing I want to make a point here. There's a drought of fish. You know, the 4 of these men that Jesus had called to be his apostles, 2 sets of brothers, they were fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew how to cast their nets. But not always somebody knows how to fish and has a talent to fish or knows how to look in the right spot for fish can't always catch them. They had fished all night long, never did they? And they hadn't caught a thing. Not one thing. But Jesus showed up on the seashore and they looked and they saw him. And what did he tell them to do? Asked if they had anything. They hadn't caught nothing. He said, cast your net to the right side of the boat. And they said, God's word here, the record we have, that net filled up with so many fish, it was full. And they brought a man to the bank, and they said that there were so many that even probably the net should have ripped and tore apart because of the weight of them pulling them in. Jesus told him to cast your net on the right side of the boat. There's a lot of times in our lives we got our nets on the wrong side.
Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're doing things in our lives that we're not in the right place at the right time, that we ain't got our nets on the right side. But I tell you what, if we follow the leadership of Jesus, if we come to him and ask him for help and guidance, we can cast our nets in the right place.
Amen.
Amen.
What's the purpose of this message tonight? The scriptures tell us this man Jesus, the word that was with God, that came down from heaven and was made flesh and walked among us. John testified of these things that he saw Jesus and he saw these miracles he performed. And not just him, but the other apostles saw him perform these miracles. And not just the apostles, but other people saw. They witnessed the things that Jesus did.
Amen.
They saw it with their own eyes. They even witnessed being Jesus nailed to the cross at Calvary. There are those that stood out there, the apostles and the Roman soldiers and all the different ones. They saw Jesus nailed to that cross between those two criminals, between those two thieves. Some of them hung around to the point that they finally saw him take his last breath. They witnessed him taking the spear and spearing his side. But we have a record that when he was put in that grave, when he was put in that tomb, on that third day, he arose.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. For me to ever get saved, I had to believe that with all my heart. Yes. For if there's anybody here tonight that ain't been covered by the blood of Christ, you're going to have to believe that with all your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
That he gave his life at Calvary, that he was nailed to that rugged cross, that he was buried in that barry tomb, and on that third day, he rose again.
Yeah.
Yes.
He walked among men. The apostles, after his death, and the women, they witnessed Jesus. They saw Jesus on the road and at different places. They saw Jesus after he died and was buried in that tomb. They saw him walking among men again.
Amen.
It says that there was hundreds that witnessed and saw him. I believe that. We have record of it.
Amen.
God's word tells us that, and what I say in the beginning, that Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. I believe God's word is nothing but truth.
Amen.
I believe the record that we have here, that it is what it is. It's truth. You're going to have to believe it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to believe it.
Amen.
Not with just your mind. We say that so many times because there's such a time that we want to work things out with our mind, but we can't work it out with our mind.
Amen.
I was thinking earlier that Brother Miller was talking about how Jesus has met with us here this week. I believe he has.
Amen.
You know, Jesus tells us where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he, there I am in the midst. Well, you know what? Jesus is in my midst sometime when I'm by myself. It ain't saying it's going to have to take two people for him to ever show up. Because he has showed up with me riding down the road. He has showed up with me laying in my bed.
Amen.
He has showed up with me out on my lawnmower, mowing my field, or out on my tractor. He showed up to me. I didn't physically or see him, but through the Spirit of God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he has showed up. He's come on the scene.
Yeah.
But I think when he tells us here about when two or three together in his name, I don't think he's really talking about just because you're going to show up and two people together, he's going to show up. He's going to be in the midst. I think what he really is meaning here, when we come to him together, two or three, spiritually, he's going to be in the midst of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe the scriptures tell us that he's not far away, and that's what I'm talking about. When we're as single individuals, where we might be in our closet, that we get down and pray, Jesus shows up. But I believe the instructions here in my heart is, when he's talking about where the two or three, that when they two or three come together to get his name, spiritually, he's going to come on the scene. He's going to manifest himself. And if it's not what it means, that's what we need to do. What I'm saying that when we come together, we need to come to the Lord in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
That our hearts might be full, that we might be willing and wanting to serve him like we need to serve him.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
When we get to that place, church, when we get to where we need to be as a church, when we get to be as God's people like we need to be, Jesus comes on the scene and he manifests his power. He manifests his spirit. He's with us.
Amen.
Amen.
He's with us.
Amen.
I was talking about In the beginning of time, in the beginning was the Word. And I went on after he was made flesh and talked about the miracles that he performed. Well, I got news for you today. It's Brother Carter, and it's been mentioned in this revival several times that was a good way to start, I think, the good
Amen.
News.
Amen.
When Brother Carter started the revival out, the first night he preached, he talked about the gospel, about the good news. Well, I got good news for you people. This man that I've read about tonight, this man that I have talked about tonight, this man that has performed the miracles that I've read, he's the same Jesus today that he was back then.
Amen.
And that's the point that I want to make. He tells us that he's saying yesterday, today, and forever. That tells me that he's unchanging.
Amen.
Amen.
That he's unchanging. The things that we've read about, the things that he done, the power that he had, he still got it.
Amen.
Amen.
He still got it. It ain't weakened. He still got it. Mm-hmm. Now look at us and the way I feel, and I'm up here, my leg hurting a little bit, and I different ones complaining about hurting there and there, and they can't do the thing they used to do. We're losing it.
Yeah.
It's just our nature. We're losing it.
Yeah.
I just ain't the person I used to be. I still want to act like a kid, but I pay for it the next day. I just ain't got it no more. But I want to tell you something. The Son of God has still got it today just like he did 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
It's unchanging. But our faith, we get weak and we see the things that's going on in the world today and we get so weak that we wonder if God can really come onto the scene, that we wonder if Jesus come on the scene. Well, I think he come on the scene this week.
Yeah.
I do. I believe he come on the scene this week, but you know what? We can't give up and we can't quit because we got a long way to go.
Amen.
This country has got a long way to go. Where are we going to find that help? Where are we going to find that strength? This man Jesus. That's who we're
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
People, brothers and sisters, we've got a long way to go.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, I hadn't watched it much because I think it's so silly. But it's the devil, the thing that's going on in these towns right now. The riots and the things that's happening. Our nation is still in a great need of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
To come on the scene.
Amen.
He's able. He can do it. Mm. He can help us as a nation to get back where we need to get to. But I think the only way that's going to happen if God's people call upon him and become the beggars that we were when we were sinners, that we were seeking after him to be saved, we need to go after him like we did then.
Yes.
We need to go after him for our nation just like we went after him for our soul. Mm. And I think if we do that, we can see big things happen in our country.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yes, Lord.
I believe that. We got to have that faith. We got to ask Jesus. If we ain't got it, we got to ask Jesus. We got to ask God to grant us that faith that we might be able to put our trust and faith in him. Yes. I got a new grandbaby. She just probably getting close to 7 months old now. She's 6 months. You parents that's got young children, it ain't no doubt that I know that you don't worry about what they're going to face in years to come. We're going in the wrong direction, that's a fact. And I know that everything ain't always going to be hunky-dory. The reason I say that is because God's Word teaches us that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
He's coming back for a reason, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
That sin going to be so great that God the Father is going to say enough is enough. Don't you want your loved ones? Don't you want your friends to have that opportunity to be saved by His grace?
Amen.
Before He comes back. Things can get better.
Amen.
They can. God can have mercy upon us. His grace. Things can get better for a little while. But there is a time coming that it's going to be a great day for some of us. And then it's going to be a sad day for us. It's going to be a terrible day. We need to keep on preaching the word.
Amen.
We need to keep pressing on. We need to keep warning them. Keep preaching Jesus.
Amen.
Pray for that power of conviction. Pray that the power of God will come upon these sinners, these lost people, that their hearts will get convicted in such a way that they realize that they need Him, that Jesus is the only way, and that they might be saved. That one day after a while, when their time ends upon this earth, whether it's where they take their last breath or Jesus comes back, that heaven's going to be their home. You know, I was thinking today several times that I was just meditating upon God's Word and thinking about heaven. I was thinking about that song that some call it heaven, some call it paradise. And I thought, you know what? How many of y'all are basically going home tonight? Going to the place where you abode. You call it home, don't you? I do. I call it home. And I thought about how many different homes that I've lived in my lifetime. I've been at the one I'm at right now for about 28 years. I call it home. But you know what it is? It's just my temporary
home.
That's all it is. It's just my temporary home. Because I have a permanent home that once I get there, I'm not going to have to load my furniture up. I'm not going to have to pack my bags anymore. That when I get there, I'm there for everlasting.
Amen.
I'm there for eternity.
Amen.
I'm not going to have to worry about moving on anywhere else. I'm going to be in a permanent place. Ain't that what Jesus said?
Amen.
Amen.
That there's many mansions there, and I've said that before, that don't mean that there's going to be a big old fancy mansion plated with gold. All it's telling me that Jesus has gone away to prepare a dwelling place for me. That I've got a place to live.
Amen.
I've got a place to abode. It is a dwelling place. It ain't a mansion on a hill. It can be a shack. It's all right. But if I'm going to be with my Lord, that's all I need.
Yeah.
But all it is that He's letting us know that when He left and ascended up to heaven to be with His Father, that He's gone to prepare a place for us that's been covered by His blood.
Amen.
Have you been covered by His blood?
Yeah.
He's still performing miracles.
Amen.
I want us to do a little exercise here just a second. Might think it's silly. Kids, I want you to do this too. Hold your hands up. Everybody, hold your hands up like this right here. Get your blood circulating. Then I want you to count with me. One. Count.
One.
Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. 6 days in the beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
A miracle. He spoke things into existence. That was a miracle. He performed many miracles. Now, something that we just did, it sounded about like a little first grader kindergarten exercise. But let me let you think about this. what we just did, there was miracles within itself. You was able to see with your eyes. You was able to count with your fingers. You was able to hear with your ears. And what's amazing about that your brain allowed you to be able to speak. Your brain was able to tell your muscles and your ligaments and stuff to count with your fingers. Allowed you to be able to see me doing these things. He allowed you to be able to speak. We take it for granted, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Think about it.
Amen.
That seemed like a simple exercise, but everything we did, it's a miracle.
Amen. Yeah.
How can people say that there is not a God that our mind was to be able to tell us to do every function that we just did? It's above me.
Amen.
Believe me, ain't no way I can explain it to you. But I can tell you this, it's a miracle. I'll tell you something else is a miracle. I don't know how he does it, but Brother Mike talked about the other night how he got under conviction, how much trouble he was in, and everyone that's been saved has been in the same position.
Yeah.
That we have so much trouble, so much sorrow in our heart that our hearts were broken. When we knew it, we was lost and seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
But at the moment that we put our trust in the Lord, there was such a peace.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Instantly. Right. Instantly. Mm-hmm. That's a miracle, people.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why I'm here to tell you that the Son of God, the Jesus that I read about tonight and I talked about, he's still performing miracles. Every time a lost soul gets saved, another miracle's been performed.
Amen.
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 Well, we've got time, people. Church, we've got time to witness many miracles because Jesus has not come back yet. When that time is, no man knows. But as long as we're allowed to take a breath, we're going to be able to witness miracles. But we got it. Brothers, God, keep preaching the word.
Amen.
Preaching the truth. Lay members, you got to keep praying for us. Praying for our families. Praying for our friends. That these miracles will be continually performed and we see lost souls get saved.
Amen.
My God is real, Brother Stroke.
Amen.
He ain't changed.
Amen.
He ain't changed. Jesus ain't changed.
No.
He loved us. God loved us.
Yeah. Amen.
That he sent the word into this world that we might have a way back to him.
Amen.
That is really, really, really something that we need to be thankful for. God bless you, my prayers. Thank you for listening. Thank you.